On a show that talks about time traveling, Bigfoot, and alien sex cults. This is serious journalism, people.
Serious.
This time we mean it.
If you think that there are not birds that are not real, you're a moron.
At this point, I'm not throwing these weirdos out because maybe they're telling the truth.
Why does everything have to be a hidden conspiracy where the motives aren't really clear? Where you can't tell what someone's intentions are from their words? Why, Abby, why?
I feel like you're just not answering the question.
There is a pattern here that is definitive, and this leads us to the CEO's response, which is not the way that you want to play being accused of in a conspiracy theory.
If jet fuel can melt steel beams, why can't it melt passports?
I'm just thinking to myself, like, who thinks like this? Oh, the United States government thinks like this. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a bonus episode, I guess we'll call it, of Conspiracy Pilled. I'm your host, PJ Williams. Abby, why'd you call us here today? Why are we here on a Saturday at 4 p.m.? Why did you call this meeting?
Well, the 4 p.m. part was so that I could get the stream over with before my husband left me alone with the baby. And then my husband was like, actually, I'm leaving at 4. So...
So good luck.
That worked out. But so he's right down here. If you see me like looking off camera or hear anything,
it's
weird.
Just added ambience, you know, the baby crying in the background thing. Yeah. It's all the rage with podcasts nowadays.
It wasn't me.
You have to have a way to stand out as a conspiracy podcast. Yeah. And the crying baby in the background adds a bit of mystery.
Yeah. It's the mystique.
The mystique.
It's the je ne sais quoi.
Well, welcome everybody who's here live. I see some people. I see Jay Kelly saying haven't been able to make it to a live in a while. You know, Wednesdays don't always work for people. So it's fun when we get to do a Saturday or a Friday or Monday or something like that and see some new faces. So,
yeah. Yeah. Lorna's in the chat with some wild conspiracy theory. Did you guys know that steel beams can melt jet fuel?
I did not.
I don't think so.
I did not know this.
I don't buy it.
Yeah,
I don't think that that's a scientific thing source.
I think it can weaken it, but I don't think it can fully melt it. I think that's the consensus.
Is that what it comes down to?
Yes.
Weakened.
Can weaken the jet fuel, but it can't fully melt it. Yeah.
Yeah. What could weaken a passport? That's what I need to know.
We have not figured out how to destroy passports yet.
We haven't. And that's, I think, the big question that I hope we can answer before the end of the season. Mm-hmm. What can we do about the passport problem? Because, I mean, if you think about it, that's the climate crisis.
Yeah.
They just can't be destroyed. They can't be broken down. They can't, like,
they're worse than plastics and landfills. They just, they're forever passports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though for whatever reason they expire every 5 years or 8 years. I don't even remember.
I have a passport, but it is long expired. I probably need a new one.
I need to renew mine this year, I think. Every time I'm in the airport, I'm like, it's expired. Oh no.
Yeah.
Okay. We are here to discuss, because I think just conspiracy theories more broadly and just the state of the conspiracy space. So at the beginning of the year, at the top of the year, we put out our 2024 bingo cards. And on mine, if you don't know, for some reason, there's two competing bingo cards, the one that's going to win and PJ's. So on mine, if you selected mine as your horse to back, was conspiracy theories go mainstream. So conspiracy theories become mainstream conservative. And they have. I think we can pretty successfully check that off the bingo card, but there's a conversation to be had and that has been being had on Twitter that I want to bring up. And it's got a lot of context to it. And I don't want to get lost in the weeds, but I also don't want to like accidentally make you hate the people who made this conversation happen because they're my friends and I don't hate them, even though I disagreed with their takes, mm-hmm. which is why we're talking about this. But no, I think the conversation's important. So some of the broader context here is that ever since October 7th, ever since the Hamas attack on Israel, anti-Semitic conspiracy theories have been just, oh, I don't know how you want to even say, just taking over conservative channels. It's not that all conservatives are believing it. It's just that they're dominating the conversation and just bullying their way into the discourse.
Yeah. Yeah. And it comes back to a pet peeve of mine, which is that everybody who supported Trump for any reason in 2016 all of a sudden got lumped in with conservatism, TM, right. this whole like big tent idea. And I've literally been saying for the last 8 years, like, this is the stupidest thing ever. And all it's going to do is like make sure that nobody actually understands what the tent poles of conservatism are and what it actually means. And you know, have a guiding principle, you know, value set to follow as far as like a ideological belief. And that's exactly where we're at, right? We've got red pill bros who are essentially feminists, but like the dude version of feminists. Like, I want everything feminism has to offer, but for dudes. I want special treatment in court. I want to sleep around. I want to be a boss girl. Mm-hmm. I want to do all, you know, like all this stuff. And yeah, but then it's like, but this is conservatism, TM, and it's Muslim, and it's not even Christian. It has nothing to do with any conservative principles at all.
Yeah.
But you're right. This is what's dominating the right wing space, because we've allowed the right wing space to be this huge, you know, like alt-right, which is another way of saying not right, which is left, yeah. which is where they're closer to. They're socialists. You know, I don't know. I'll stop ranting about the thing, but that's why I think it's a big part of this whole conversation, right. is because like all these people who seem to agree with us based on voting for one election and maybe another election, have now shifted the conversation into a place where everybody's kind of going, is this what we're supposed to believe? And it really is what everybody's talking about now.
Yeah, it's really dominated the discourse. And it's this two-pronged thing. It's the red pill, woman-hating movement, and it's the Jew-hating movement. And there's a lot of overlap.
Yes.
And so this is kind of the backdrop onto which this conversation is coming. So you all know, and I make absolutely no secret about the fact that I'm a friend of the Daily Wire. I love the Daily Wire. I'm not friends with every single person who is there, but I'm friends with several, like legitimately friends with them. And so I think a lot of people will be like, you're such a simp, or you do whatever they tell you, or whatever. And it's like, no, like Jeremy's my friend. So yeah, I'm going to defend him sometimes, but then sometimes my friend has a really shitty take. And that's what we're going to talk about. But Tucker Carlson got fired from Fox however many months ago, and everyone was shocked. Like, that shooketh everybody, I think.
Shooketh.
Everybody was shooketh.
Conservative media.
Because Tucker has been setting the conversation for a long time. Mm-hmm. From his show on Fox. And there was a lot of like, why, Fox, you're so dumb. Why would you get rid of the only show anybody cares about? And now I think we're kind of seeing why they would do that. Not to defend Fox, far be it from me. But he has started to bring some of the conspiracy theories mainstream. Mm-hmm. And at first I was really excited about that. And then he started to just be really careless and dumb about some of the stuff that he has brought to the conversation.
Can I ask about that a little bit? Because I feel like I haven't paid as much attention to Tucker Carlson as everybody else. One, because I'm not as enamored with him as the rest of the right is. And well, I don't know if it's one and two, but it's like that and 1A. It's because I think that he's a libertarian and he's not actually conservative. And people got mad at me on Twitter that I'm like, it's not a knock on him. He just is a libertarian. And therefore I don't agree with him on a, like, a lot of his policies, and it's not because I don't like him or have a problem with him. It's just we're coming at it from two totally different things.
Right. It's because you're not a libertarian.
I'm not, exactly. But most of the right doesn't understand what they actually believe. They'll call themselves this. And that. It's again, it's the name thing bothers me, but it bothers me for a reason. It's because words have meaning. And when words don't have meaning, we're adopting all the premises of the left. And then we're shifting everything that we believe into a mishmash of, I don't know who the hell knows what we stand for anymore.
Right.
And it's what's why Andrew Tate can be considered right wing, even though by no metric. Really, he's not really right wing by any metric other than, you know, some form of masculinity, I guess. There we go.
Yeah.
Masculinity.
It's, Tucker, I don't hate everything he says. And I don't hate everything he's been saying recently, but he said some careless stuff about Israel, some just badly researched stuff.
Oh, right,
he's just
gotten
up there and said stuff that like really went into this whole anti-Semitic narrative and just bad journalism. He's done a lot recently of like kind of simping for Russia. This is where some of the bad journalism has come into play too. It's just like, look at all this great stuff about Russia. You're like, dude, stop. Like, you're so out of touch. And anyway. All that to kind of preface this conversation that we're going to bring up. Because Tucker and Candace both really betrayed the Daily Wire. So I want the tweet we're about to read to be read in the context of feeling betrayed by these two people and wrongly attributing something to a broader group of people than it belongs to. So let's just get into it and then we'll... Here was the original tweet from Jeremy Boring. Who I love, who is a good person. Don't forget. People who deny the moon landing or suggest America is evil for its use of atomic weapons against Imperial Japan, or who say that George Bush was behind 9/11 actually hate this country. Obviously, this is a shit take, right?
Yeah.
Like, obviously. So this is coming from Tucker had just gone on Rogan and was talking about all the things he's been talking about lately. He was talking about how it was bad for America to drop the bombs, which is a whole moral question that I don't even want to get into in this stream, unless you do. But it's not really a conspiracy topic. It's just a moral question, right?
No, I think that Kyle Mann summed it up perfectly, which is, you know, do you remember the tweet exactly? What it was, the essence
the
of
Kyle
it, at
Mann
least?
Tweet?
Yeah. You don't have to find it, but it's essentially along the lines of like, look, this at least deserves a conversation. Like, to just say that there's no moral question about dropping two nukes is kind of silly.
Right.
Whether you, because the question, really quickly, the whole concept behind it is, did we save more lives than we lost? And that has been the belief of the right wing, even though it was done by a Democratic president, whatever. For a long time, it's been the idea that the use of force here actually saved more lives than a ground invasion, yada, 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 yada. And that's probably true, but that's also beside the point about the morality of nukes and yada, yada, yada. Like all of that stuff. It deserves a conversation. But to say people hate America for saying, I don't know. And again, we're very far removed from it. And we're also going off of what we've been told for 70 years, which is this saved lives. And I understand people saying, well, that's the belief system behind it, but is it valid? Like, did it really say? And I think it probably did, but that's, again, the moral question is a different question, I think.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. And I'm in complete agreement. I will say it was a necessary evil, emphasis on evil.
Emphasis on evil. There we go. I think that's exactly right.
It was evil. It was necessary to stop more evil. And if you want to talk about, like, if you want to talk about American war crimes in the context, if you want to talk about Japan and war crimes in the same sentence, we can talk about Japanese war crimes if that's what Japan would really like to do. But nobody wants to do that.
What bothers me about this question too is like, I've heard the larger context around this. I know we're going to get into it, but it was basically like, questioning America at all in the context of World War II, you know, because we were the good guys is really bad. And it's like, but you have to understand, we dropped like, if you want to talk about morality, after we drop the two nukes, what's the next thing we do? We import the Japanese scientists into that's the part of Project Paperclip nobody talks about. We talked about it on MK Naomi. And then we spread smallpox and Lyme disease and all kinds of stuff through the use of these Japanese Unit 737 scientists who were like the worst war criminals of war criminal history. Are now working for the American government, spreading disease through bugs in foreign countries and in our own country. So, like, there is at least a moral question to what our country's doing at this time. That's that only conspiracy theorists are willing to have. That's, I think, the valid point, right?
And I think you can have
a 731. Moral, thank you.
Wait, you can have a conversation where you're like, I think my government did some shitty things, without hating your country,
right?
And I think that. We all know that. I think what's happening in conservative media right now is that we have all accepted that our government is shit and they lie to us. And like even the normies have accepted that there's a deep state. Everyone knows Biden's not running the country. There's a huge degree to which conspiracy theories are full on mainstream. But then there's little pockets of sacred belief still where conservatives, major conservatives, who I think are intelligent people, moral people, all that, will still get really, really angry or be really bothered in their spirits about the idea of 9/11 being an inside job.
Yeah, it comes, part of it, I think, is being stuck in 2004. But one of the things that I thought was dishonest about this take from Boring, and again, I like Jeremy Boring. This is not an attack on him, but it is a conversation that needs to be had because everybody's got blind spots. And I think that the Daily Wire, I think Jeremy Boring and Ben Shapiro specifically, and Matt Walsh, I guess, too, have a specific blind spot to this in what Tucker Carlson was saying. Is like, you don't have to agree with him on his 9/11 take or on his nuclear take, but I feel like... at least from what I heard from Ben Shapiro, kind of took him out of context to the, what he was basically saying is, I started seeing that the government was lying to me because of 2016. This is where the conservative movement is entirely at right now. The Russia, you know, P tape, the all the Russia stuff, Russia, COVID, like there's a million things that we all started waking up and going like, oh yeah, the deep state's real. And they really suck and they rig elections. And even if they don't, they're, you know, all of these things and everybody's kind of waking up to it. And so Tucker says, I started asking questions. I started going back and saying, maybe I was too quick to believe everything I'd ever heard. And I don't think it was fair to say he just threw it out and said, believe every crazy possible conspiracy theory on the internet. I think this is where everybody, especially in conservative media, is at to some degree right now, whether they admit it or not. We're all looking back throughout the last 70 years, at least, you know, maybe less than that, but like, we're all looking back to a certain point and going, how far does this go? How much did we believe just out of hand about, you know, 9/11, about this, about that, about the other things that we should have been skeptical about? Because we weren't skeptical enough of how evil journalists are.
Right.
Like, what's the tweet? It's you don't hate journalists enough. It's like the thing that people keep saying, right? Yeah. And it's like, because we were way too trusting. And I think that it's valid for us to not throw the baby out with the bathwater, but to rehash some things, I think is entirely valid.
Yeah. So let me keep going. Jeremy had a couple more tweets here. So that was the original tweet. I'm just going to read it again. People who deny the moon landing or suggest America is evil for its use of atomic weapons against Imperial Japan, or who say that George Bush was behind 9/11 actually hate this country. And I replied, I don't hate this country. I do believe 9/11 was an inside job. I know a great many people who love this country and nevertheless believe our government / the deep state / et cetera is capable of great evil from time to time. Don't you? I think this is a bad take, friend. And then he said, somebody replied to him, Jeremy, isn't the entire premise of being a critical thinker to question things? Some of the best podcasters and influencers are those who ask questions no one else is asking. Being anti-establishment is to question the establishment's motive, no? And Jeremy said, it is not critical thinking to say that America never landed on the moon or that George W. Bush orchestrated the 9/11 attacks. It is a rejection of critical thinking. And this is just super common of the normie take on conspiracy theories. The conceit of it is, and I see it everywhere, the conceit of it is, I don't buy the conspiracy theory. I think the conspiracy theory is dumb. Therefore, everyone who buys the conspiracy theory is dumb or is not using critical thinking. The idea that, you know, they're asking questions and then, well, I gave you an answer to your question and you didn't accept it. Therefore, you nothing's going to satisfy you. And I don't think that just because one person finds certain evidence to be more or less compelling does not put you in a position to, I think he's entirely wrong here to be judging whether or not somebody is using critical thinking for not coming to the same conclusion that he did about a controversial issue.
Right. Yeah. Agreed.
It's a little bit, you know, you can be a little bit more authoritative when it comes to moral issues, I think.
Right.
But especially if they're like clear, but clearly stated in the Bible, you can be like that. The verse says that's a sin. So therefore that's a sin. Sorry. We're not going to have we don't have to have a nuanced discussion about this, but
there absolutely is times where the nuanced discussion doesn't make sense. But in this, you have to ignore it. Like I was a normie on 9/11 for a long time. So I know all the arguments from both sides, but there's a certain point where you go, oh wait, there are a lot of well-researched people who are pointing out all the things that they don't want you to see, including a man standing in front of Tower 2 and saying it fell and recording that bit before it fell. Like there's a lot of things that make you go like, or before it even got hit by a plane, I should say.
Right.
There's a lot of things that make you go, yeah, this seems really orchestrated and messed up and wrong. And it's not, I don't see how it's not critical thinking to include that set of data. This comes back to a guy we talked about recently. Mm-hmm. Charles Fort, right? And his whole thing was science is coming up with its conclusions because it only accepts the data that it likes to accept. And if you only accept the data you want to accept about 9/11, you can only come to one conclusion. But that means you're excluding data, which is not actually a good critical thinking type practice.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And there's so much of this attitude of like, well, an expert gave you an answer to your question, therefore you're not allowed to ask it anymore. And it's like, have we not learned from COVID that's not how things work?
Have we not learned from the transgender debate? Like this is actually why this bothers me so much, because I think that Jeremy Boring and the Daily Wire as a whole are conspiracy theorists. They don't realize that they are. And they're using the same critical thinking skills that we are using to come to certain conclusions by going, hey, the experts say that you can chop a boy's penis off and he becomes a girl. Right. Why are we trusting the experts? They've been wrong about everything. They were wrong about COVID. They were wrong about, you know, again, 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 again.
Last one from Jeremy. This was just a reply. And I thought that this one starts to give a little bit of context to what he's actually trying to say. Because I think what happened here, I know what happened here because I talked to him afterward, is that Jeremy is trying to address a real problem. Trey says, what Jeremy Boring did earlier was important in terms of conservative thought. William F. Buckley once had to draw a big line between the conservative movement and what had become a crackpot John Birch Society. The conspiratorial wing and their heckler's veto have been allowed outsized influence in the party once again, except this time around, very few conservative thought leaders have been willing to risk losing eyeballs for the sake of calling a spade a spade. And Jeremy said, responded and said, you have my thanks. So I have taken Jeremy's response here to be agreement with Trey's assessment of what's going on in the conservative movement.
Okay.
You following?
Yeah.
I know that this is
Go ahead and explain it a little bit more.
So what is happening? Jeremy's trying to address a real problem in the conservative movement, but because he's in the conservative movement and not the conspiracy movement, I think he mistook a real problem with a piece of the conspiracy space and assigned the problem to the entirety of the conspiracy space.
Right. Yes.
It's not because not all conspiracy theorists are a monolith, but just about every conspiracy theorist that Jeremy's been talking to recently has been conspiracy. The Daily Wire is run by the Jews, and they hate America, and they hate all of you, and they're controlled opposition, and the Jews, and like that's what, and the betrayal of Candace Owens to the Daily Wire, and how she went down that conspiratorial path mm-hmm. that where all roads lead to the Jews, mm-hmm. and Tucker taking shots at them. I can see why Jeremy landed in this place of this is a problem. This whole movement is a problem. And then picked the two most common conspiracy theories and tweeted about it.
I have so many thoughts on this too. First of all, this would be the same as, and again, like this is why housekeeping matters. This is why, you know, people get so mad about the infighting. And mm-hmm. I don't think that they realize, like, no, there is a certain communities, belief systems, ideologies. They all actually do need gatekeepers. They actually do. Mm-hmm. And conspiracy is a bit different in a way. There should be argument, but mm-hmm. it is a space that's like, look, people are coming here with outside of the mainstream opinions, and that's always going to be open to everybody. But that doesn't mean we're all going to agree, and it doesn't mean we shouldn't loudly disagree. So mm-hmm. in the conservative space, a little bit different, because I think that actually has a firm set of boundaries, but it's been
right.
It's been kind of forgotten in the boundaries have been let go to win elections. Okay, mm-hmm. let's let in all these people who are vehemently disagree with on the core principles of our movement in order to get Donald Trump elected. Right. So then people from the outside are looking in and going, well, Andrew Tate says that you should be able to beat women and do this and that and the other and pimp women out, and that's conservative and wonderful and great. And then people are going, wow, that's the conservative movement. I hate conservatives. And then lumping them all
right.
in. That's a mistake, but it's also a mistake that's in certain part due to them, to right. people in the conservative movement, just making it too big of a tent. With conspiracy.
When the loudest voices.
Yes.
When the loudest voices, the only voices you hear that represent a group of people are all shitty, you're going to think that group of people is shitty.
Right. And then that's the same in conspiracy spaces, is there's some really loud, like it's all the Jews and the earth is flat and all of history is a lie and every, you know, the moon landing was fake. And which again, some of these are fine to have conversations about, but but there's a certain militant part of this, especially the like really anti-Jew stuff, that's just gross. And there's people like us who have made our show about exploring conspiracy theories in a very honest way, and also not being afraid to call a spade and not being afraid to call people out for being gross and shitty and wrong, or especially, honestly, this is a different point, but the conspiracy space, in my opinion, one of my big gripes is that people point at the Freemasons and point at all these occult societies, and they say, wow, these people are really evil. And then they go, but how can I learn and benefit from all of the occult secrets and knowledge? And it's like, yeah, this is retarded.
But that's a problem.
It's a problem. It's like you are so much of the conspiracy space is just literally satanic, and they don't realize it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But like that, and again, that it makes sense, but that's a problem, right? So there's people like us who are quite literally like fighting that fight in our own space, just like we're fighting the fight in the conservative space for all these things. And to conflate like the whole space with those people when there's people in this movement who know you, specifically know us, who listen to our show, who've been on our show, who I think are being a little bit disingenuous with like the whole, instead of realizing like, no, they're actually, this is why you should support people like us, because we actually believe what you believe. And we actually want to fight for what you want to fight for. Yeah. We're on your side, but we're not anti-American for not believing 9/11 was exactly as Fox News told me it was.
Cody over here says Candace just recently learned to read is her problem.
Where's that one?
It was right before.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. My favorite response, you brought it up, Kyle's tweet. I did drop it in the notes. Kyle said the morality of nuking two cities is at least worthy of debate. 9/11 was probably not an inside job, but our government definitely exploited it for their own purposes after it happened. On that note, like obviously I think it was an inside job and I don't agree with him, but to not admit that at the very least the government was like, ooh, opportunity, is a bit silly.
Yeah.
And then he said the moon landing was real, but it's fun to read the conspiracy theories about it. America still has its issues, but I still love it. And it's still the greatest country on earth. Lukewarm takes for the day. And I like this because the other thing about this is I would say most conspiracy theorists, maybe this is just me being too positive, but I think most conspiracy theorists are just having fun.
I think so too.
Most of the time, they're just like, what if 9/11 was an inside job? Wouldn't that be wild? Like, I enjoy just the process of like poking around at all the weird things and the things mm-hmm. that don't add up. And I think that's, there are two types of people. There are people who are made very uncomfortable when you poke a narrative, and there are people who really enjoy poking a narrative. And
the truth is that the conspiracy theorist type that Jeremy hates is vocal in politics more than they are in the conspiracy realm anyway. And that's like Nick Fuentes type people.
Yep.
Most conspiracy people who are into it are into it for a big part entertainment. Like, let's just be honest about this stuff because I'm interested in the truth, and we have, you know, things that really are important that we're trying to do. But most of what we're really, like, a lot of what we're trying to do is entertain people, and a lot of it is entertaining and fun. You can't tell me that Montauk Project is not wildly entertaining of a story. You know, Dulce Bass. Yeah. Like, this stuff is super interesting. We're going to talk about Ong's Hat soon. Like, this stuff is very fun. And in Raelians. That there's in that there's truths and there's things to expose, and there's, you know, all of that stuff. But it's like the moon landing thing. Getting upset about the moon landing is weird to me. I actually think we went to the moon. I think the conspiracy theory stuff around it is fun, and I don't really see the harm the same way that other people do.
We're going to talk about that more in a minute.
Yeah.
Let's circle back to the moon landing one, because I understand where he's,
I understand it to a degree.
Yeah.
But I think it's more. Yeah. You said we'll come back to it. So I'll hold my thoughts.
So I want to show this old Tucker clip that was that resurfaced, because it's funny how Tucker has changed his mind. Because Tucker's view on 9/11 used to be the exact same as Jeremy's is right now. And I think that this view and this attitude is actually so common among normies, and it's not, it's obviously not indicative of that he could, you know, someone can't come around. So.
Yes. And I just want to say this last part really quick before we play it. This was me as well. And this is also why I don't understand that it's not critical thinking. When someone can believe the narrative for a long time, and then you as well, right? Like, and then be shown enough evidence over time to change their mind, is not someone who's easily taken in. I don't think that's indicative of someone who's easily taken in. So,
figure out why Liberty is so popular. He's starting to get it.
But there's an important distinction between Liberty. I mean, I voted for Ron Paul in 88. I mean, I've been a Ron Paul fan a while. And this nonsense about 9/11 that morons like you keep bringing up. I mean, truly, that is just the most loathsome thing to say, I think.
Well, I don't keep bringing it up. It's not really my shtick. I was just wondering why you walked out of the convention, because it's not really my issue.
It's so awful. I'm so awful. And by the way, it discredits libertarianism and the ideas of Ron Paul and liberty itself. If you start accusing people of things on the basis of no evidence,
you don't think Alex Jones has brought thousands of people to the message of liberty? I know you hate Alex Jones. What would you say to Alex Jones?
I'm not gonna.
This is your chance. He watches my channel.
I don't know Alex Jones. I don't have any feelings about Alex Jones. I just think, in order to imply that there was a conspiracy behind 9/11, you ought to have some evidence. That's all.
And there's none. There's no evidence whatsoever.
And I've done a lot of shows on it. And I've read a lot about it. And there are a ton of coincidences. There always are.
So you can end it here.
Yep.
It's this attitude. Well, there's so much there, right? He calls them morons. He says it's terrible. You guys are terrible people making these accusations on the basis of no evidence. It's not no evidence, though. It's just evidence that you personally haven't found compelling. But there's a big difference, right? But later on, he looks at it again. And even though that was his feeling at the time, he has come around to thinking, well, maybe not. Maybe they're not morons.
Yeah.
I just think that's really funny. Yeah. The flip from Tucker there.
Oh, I do too. Yeah. But I mean, this is the thing that I said about his interview with Joe Rogan. Whatever you think of Tucker Carlson, what he was saying there is, he's like, look, I was way too quick to just jump into, you know, knee-jerk reaction, believe the narrative or you're anti-American, which was the why the propaganda was so perfect. And there's a correlation here in time, and I don't know if I want to get into this part of it right now, but like the correlation with where we're at today and 9/11 in a lot of ways is a rehashing of the 60s and 70s with the JFK assassination. Mm-hmm. It's that one where you can't talk about it. You can't believe anything different. You're a conspiracy. There's where the term comes from.
Right.
And then as we saw in the 70s, which is why I think this is all important, people like Charles Berlitz and others just started making up everything they could because conspiracy was popular and right. they gave it a bad name. In the 70s. And I think that's, you know, the fear that it's happening again. It's like people are starting to wake up to real truths. And then there's, you know, opportunists who are just bad faith actors who are going to turn people off from it. Always. After it'll happen. It is happening.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, my other friend and my other friend in conservative media, Seth, Dylan of the Babylon Bee responded to Jeremy's original tweet, or no, not the original one, the second one, the it's not critical thinking tweet. And Seth's reply was, they're just asking questions, in quotes.
Right.
And then follow up to this, so somebody had challenged Seth, the only people who would criticize asking questions are those that fear the answers to those questions. I think that this replier is doing committing the same logical fallacy that Seth and Jeremy were both committing, mm-hmm. the thinking that you can judge a person's heart and
we just did this whole thing recently, right? Yeah. Like the whole Candace Owens thing was this again. It was, I'm going to say something very gaslighty because if you disagree mm-hmm. with me, well, how could you disagree with what I said? But we know what you're saying because you're saying it right. openly right. in all these other places, right?
Right.
Again, for people who don't know what I'm saying, when every reply to my tweet and Abby's tweets for a week was Christ is king, you dirty fucking Jew, you know, that's you saying the part. And our opinion, both of us, and holding to this opinion, is Christ is king.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to use it as, I'm not going to take the Lord's name in vain and use it as a cuss word against the Jews. And I right. mean that literally when you're posting, you dirty fucking Jew, after every single tweet, you know. But that was the point, right? It was the same there. Gaslighting that's going on with this, as in like, if you say just asking questions, like, mm-hmm. is there a connotation to it? That's what I'm trying to say. Like, I think that there are people who are asking questions and there are people who are using just asking questions
right.
as a dog whistle for something.
I don't think I have ever said, maybe I have. But I don't think I've ever said, I'm just asking questions, because I know that
I've always hated that phrase personally.
I know that I'm not. I might start with just asking questions. Yeah. Like on the day after the cargo ship took down the bridge in Baltimore, just the day after, I might have said, I'm just asking questions, because you start by asking questions. But then mm-hmm. You build up the narrative you're going to believe, and then you have to follow through to the conclusions of what you've chosen to believe. You're not just asking questions for very long.
This phrase, by the way, comes from Jesse Ventura from, you know, back during his time. I don't remember what his show was called, but he had a show, and every time he would get backed into a corner, you know, saying something ridiculous and stupid, I'm just asking questions. I'm just asking questions. And it was a way to, not stand your ground. It was a way to put it as bluntly as I can, to be a pussy about things, to say, well, I am saying that it's the Jews behind everything, or whatever it was. It doesn't have to be that, but like, I am saying this thing, but I'm just asking questions. I'm not really saying it. It's very gaslighty. And I've never, even as a conspiracy theorist, podcaster, and all this stuff, I hate the phrase and I don't like using it. So like, I actually fully agree with the, right. not liking the just asking questions tag.
Right.
It's always bothering me.
So Seth says here,
say what you mean.
Yeah. He says the thing with the just asking questions people is that they aren't just asking questions. That's just a thin veneer covering, but not quite concealing their true identity. And then in another reply, he said, it is not a criticism of inquiry. It's more a criticism of cowardice. and disingenuousness. So Seth's saying here, he doesn't have a problem with the questions. He has a problem with people disingenuously saying that they're just asking questions, which I do too. And then he says, while you're questioning things, consider questioning whether everyone is sincere. Some people aren't, and sometimes they give you good reasons to believe they aren't. The types of questions they ask and the way they ask them can be one of the indicators. I had a problem with Seth's tweets, not because I didn't agree with them on their face, that like just asking questions, the just asking questions people are disingenuously hiding. What I had a problem with was that he seemed to, in agreeing with Jeremy Boring, lump everybody in the conspiracy world into the just asking questions camp. And I think that that's what made us really want to do this episode, is that we, as a conspiracy theory channel, as a conspiracy channel, I want to be really clear that we're not just asking questions. We're really not. And right. And you have to think about the conclusions of your theories.
Right. Yeah.
And then B, stand behind them. And I think that that's the problem we have with Tartarian. That's the problem we have with Flat Earth, is that you cannot just stop at asking questions and saying that's weird and that's weird and that's weird and that's weird. You have to actually care about the cohesiveness of your theory and the conclusions of your theory.
And specifically with Tartaria, let's just be honest about this. Tartaria is we could go into the whole origins of it, but I've done too much talking about it in the past. Tartaria is an anti-white propaganda piece. That's all it is, guys. Mm-hmm. It's anti-European, anti-white propaganda, and each just asking questions piece of it falls flat, but there's so many of them that are thrown at you at such a speed that mm-hmm. the whole thing is disingenuous and gaslighting and stupid, mm-hmm. to be honest with you. And any good questions in Tartaria are lost in the barrage of dumb shit. Like, that's the truth of it. People will point out, well, this is a good question. I'm like, well, it's one of a billion questions that are disingenuously asked in a mm-hmm. theory that doesn't actually hold together. There's no right. cohesiveness to it. So, but yeah, right. They're not, but often it's, I'm just asking questions with this. I'm just wondering why this picture's weird, or why, you know, mm-hmm. this thing looks different from the past. And there should actually be a coherent, cohesive thought behind the thing.
Right.
And that's what we do, I think. Mm-hmm. That's what we're always trying to do. We're always trying to be like, what are we actually saying with this?
Right.
What is the implication of the belief?
Which is why 9/11 gets me so much, because it's like, usually people have a problem with a conspiracy theory because they have a problem with the conclusion of the theory. But people like Seth and Jeremy, whether they admit it or not, they agree with the conclusion. The conclusion is that our government sucks and they lie to us and they do shitty things all the time that hurt people and kill people. Like, we all watched it together.
Mm-hmm.
So we all know.
Again, like, I guess I got to point this out, because you said it at the beginning of the show, but I have to point this out. Every single person is a conspiracy theorist. Okay. First of all, that's just statistically true. I've read tons of books on the subject, which are just like, there's actually no person alive that doesn't believe a fair amount of conspiracy theories.
Right.
It's just they have different ones than you, right?
Right.
So that's first of all. And second of all, Joe Biden, no one, and I mean literally no one, believes he's in charge of the United States right now. There is not a single person alive who thinks that the deep state does not literally puppet this man.
Right.
So there we go. There's the one. So
there's one.
George Bush couldn't have done 9/11. Who says he was in charge of anything? Okay. We're admitting that Biden's not in charge of the country right now. So is it a stretch? And then, two, the freaking Nord Stream 2 pipeline, the day it happened, everybody went, oh, yep, our own government blew this up and blamed Russia for it. False flag attack. We literally teach history classes about the Reichstag fire and all of these false flag attacks throughout all of history that have started all of these wars, except our own. Except Pearl Harbor, except 9/11, except the Iraqi girl who claimed that whole thing that, whatever, I can't remember. There's another one with Vietnam. All of our wars started by false flag attacks. Those are the only ones we don't learn about, but we'll learn about Germany doing it. We'll learn about all these other countries doing it. It's like, we believe we're doing it now. mainstream conservatism believes that the Nord Stream 2 pipeline was blown up by the UN, Ukraine, or the United States, or a combination of those, and everybody knows it. Everybody's a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
It's
even
just
9/11, no matter what side you're on, you believe a conspiracy theory. You believe some people conspired to do something.
Okay, Ilhan Omar. Some people did something.
Some people. No, I mean, either you believe that the government did it, that the government conspired to do it to its own people, or you believe that Osama bin Laden and his people conspired with people inside the United States who had inside information at NORAD and all these other places. Like, you have to believe some level of conspiracy just to believe that it happened at all.
Yeah. Agreed.
The people who believe the least conspiracy are the people who believe the planes were holograms.
That's actually kind of true.
Right? We have more Seth tweets. Rationality doesn't revel in skepticism. It accepts what is reasonable and rejects what is not. The man who questions everything is just as foolish as the man who questions nothing. We've talked about this being an issue in the conspiracy space, where people start to come unclipped from reality to the point where they can't believe anything at all. They've just come completely unmoored, and everything is a conspiracy. Everything's a psyop. They can't believe anything. And this is a natural, for a lot of people, it's a natural conclusion or a natural fallout to being conspiracy theorists, unfortunately.
I even think that most, if not everybody, who gets into questioning the narrative gets to this point at one point, and it's whether or not that they come back to a sane place, right? And it's not even like, when you live in a world who lies to you this much, it's not even your fault necessarily,
right?
But hopefully you have good people around you to help you figure this out, because it's just as foolish to believe that everything is a lie and to take someone at complete faith who you just is saying things on the internet as it is to take the mainstream media at face value, right? I think both are equally foolish. I shouldn't even say equally, but like kind of. I mean, with the track record of the mainstream media at this point, equally foolish. And you have to ask questions in a way where, especially when you can verify things. And then if you can't verify, you have to take it in a loose, hold on to it loosely, instead of make your whole life around this unverifiable story that some person said on the internet.
Right.
Yeah.
I do think it is more foolish to question everything than to question nothing, because truth exists, and truth exists. Truth is real.
Well, yeah, because now you're talking about postmodernist thinking, and I agree. Postmodernist thinking is retarded. It's the whole "I think, therefore I am," and I can't know if anything is real, and it's no way to live. It's completely unmoored from anything that actually gives your life purpose and meaning at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what is so dumb, and this is where Jeremy and Seth are both coming from. Where we're at this point on the right, where even the normies who are conspiracy theorists in the way that you've been talking about, like they're not necessarily into the moon landing or 9/11, but they have been, they're so unhinged. They're spinning out so hard about COVID and about Russia and about all that stuff that we relied about, that now they're looking at the two companies who have done the most for conservatism, the two strongest bastions of conservatism, driving the movement forward, the Daily Wire and the Babylon Bee. There are so many people on Twitter every day, it seems like there's more of them, who just hate the Daily Wire for no reason, who are like, oh, they're controlled opposition because they don't believe it's because they don't agree with me 100%. Because the Daily Wire still holds on to a lot of this establishment stuff, because the Daily Wire still has that, like, I think it's a little outdated, but like that love of America that doesn't believe America's completely broken yet. And that, like, they don't really go into the election fraud thing, and they don't really go into...
I think it's incredibly hard for people to be where both of us are at, but I'll say myself in this, where we absolutely have seen the depths of depravity of our own country and accepted that they're real and still think this is the best country on earth, and then want to expose the deep state and the evil because this country is and was and can be great. And that's a very hard thing for people to get to be like, yeah, you know, our country did MK Ultra. It did MK Naomi. It did. The government, you know, it was a complicit. CIA was complicit in Jeffrey Epstein, like all of these things. And then to still love this country and its people and hope for the best for it and want to see it, you know, fixed in a lot of ways. That's a hard place to be. And I think that the assumption there is that if you accept things that, let's just be honest, are 100% provable, verifiable facts when it comes to MKUltra, and then don't hate America and don't become, you know, super anti-American, that's a hard thing for people to understand, I think.
Yeah. And so I don't blame, I've said this, I say this all the time, I do not blame my normie friends for being normies. I don't have an issue with people who don't believe the conspiracy theories I believe, because I recognize that it is A, really hard to get there, and B, I don't think it's necessary for everybody to get there.
Right.
Or even a good or healthy thing for everybody to get there. I find it easy to question people, to question everything, and to live that way. I find it easy to live that way. And I think a lot of people don't. But there are so many people who are ready to completely throw away the Daily Wire and the Babylon Bee and say they're just controlled opposition, to say they're just psyops, to say all this because whatever thing they don't align with.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense, but I like, if they don't believe what you believe on the election and you've pointed out the election stuff a ton, maybe again, I think they're wrong, but maybe it's just like not the important thing to them. And I also have a very different take on why some people who I think actually kind of know the election was phony aren't pushing that narrative. And that is they don't want to black pill people into not voting because they still believe that they can overcome the cheat. We've heard people use the phrase like overcome the steal, as in like be out there, make, you know, the Democrats are going to be Democrats and they're going to do a little bit of ballot box stuffing, but we have to not be discouraged so that we don't show up to the polls and don't win. And I think that's honestly where most people who are not wanting to talk about the very obvious, you know, Dinesh D'Souza pointed out things and this and that and the other, I think a lot of them just are calculatedly thinking, I don't want to blackpill people into not voting. And I think it's because very too often that conspiracy theorist channels are 100%, let's black pill everybody. Let's make sure they don't believe in the system. Let's make sure they actually don't do anything. That's where conspiracy becomes dangerous to some people. And that's why we try so hard not to be a black pilled channel, which is like, you're fucked. Don't even try to change anything around you. Don't care about don't care about politics, even though that means letting, you know, a million babies get slaughtered a year and children being cut up and trafficked and all this stuff. Don't care about it because you can't do anything. Like, that is worse, I think, than being naively, you know, optimistic about your, you know, political landscape.
We don't talk about election fraud very much. We don't say it, you know. When it comes up, we talk about it, right?
Sure.
But we don't talk about it very much because it does, like we've been saying, it does matter what the natural conclusion of your conspiracy theory is. And the natural conclusion of the election fraud conspiracy theory is that your vote doesn't matter. That is the natural conclusion. You do have to at least be aware that that's the natural conclusion and to, because that's how we lost Georgia in.
Yes. And again, that is exactly why I think they don't want to talk about it at the Daily Wire. I think that they were right in saying, look, you all feel like the election was stolen, but we have to win Georgia for the Senate.
Right.
And so, and what's his name? Lynn, there's a conspiracy for you. Lynn, I think it's Lynn Wood. Former Democrat operative goes out there and says, I'm working for Trump now. And Trump thinks you shouldn't vote because F the system. And then the Democrats win Georgia. And it's like, this is exactly why they don't want to talk about it. And I don't honestly fully, I'm not trying to, like, you know, be an apologist for everybody at the Daily Wire, but like, I at least look at it from that lens and be like, this is, they said it pretty openly at the time that like, this is why they don't want to talk about it because that's what they saw. So there's consequences to ways of thinking, I think.
There are. And this is the thing. You can be right about something and there still can be a consequence. So I did want to show this clip. Vivek Ramaswamy did a bit of a I go back and forth about what I think about Vivek, but he had a pretty good take on this that I wanted to show.
All right.
I find it fascinating that many conservatives are now lambasting Tucker Carlson for asking certain hard questions about narratives we've been fed by the government. Do I agree with Tucker on all of his views? Of course not. I don't agree with anybody on 100% of their views. That would be a weird thing to do. But I also think it's a weird thing to do to lambast somebody for questioning certain narratives when, in fact, that's what it means to be a skeptical citizen of a truly democratic nation. I'll tell you where it comes from, though. I'm not just going to tar somebody on their side. Let's get to the heart of what's going on there. I think we as conservatives have appropriately been fed up by the self-loathing left that has repeatedly, for 160 years, and for the last 6 years, incessantly, questioned the founding of our country, obsessing over systemic racism and white rage and the original sin of slavery at our founding. And at a certain point, all of us, most conservatives I know, myself included, Tucker included, others, are saying enough with it already. Let's move forward as one country because we've beaten that dead horse to death. There's nothing more to say. Now, back in 1960, when you didn't have necessarily equal rights enjoyed across this country, that was still a relevant conversation to have, to say, well, slavery existed all the way through the Civil War. The Reconstruction era didn't quite put an end to those inequities. How are we going to deal with it in the Civil Rights Revolution? That was a reasonable discussion to have. But now we're 60 plus years after that, and at a certain point, it's time to move on. And if you're consistently still obsessing over narratives dating back over 250 years, then yes, that means you probably do in some measure hate this country. Fine. But that's different from saying that there are certain areas where we deserve to question our own history that haven't been questioned. And I think that that's the difference we need to draw. The distinction we need to draw is one thing to beat a dead horse and hate ourselves for the sake of hating ourselves. That's what the modern left does. But that's not what Tucker's doing. To the contrary, he's turning over rocks that haven't really been turned over, rolling over logs that deserve to be rolled over and seeing what crawls out. Sometimes maybe there's nothing there. Is he going to have a 100% hit rate? Of course not. But I don't think it's the right thing to do, especially as conservatives who are supposed to be skeptical of the government, to criticize somebody for asking questions, and not just in a armchair way, but in a rigorous way, asking the kinds of questions that at least the American people deserve to have answers to and closure on. I think that's a good thing. And whether you're liberal or conservative, I think you actually do love this country if you're willing to ask those hard questions. And that's why I think it's a mistake, an unintentional mistake that many conservatives make when they try to tell people to shut up, sit down, and do as they're told. That's what the modern progressive left does. Let's not make the same mistake in return.
I hate how much I like him sometimes.
I know. But it's an argument, like, if I was going to put that into maybe a more feminine, less political way, it's like the conservatives are so tired of the chaos of questioning everything. Conservatives are so tired of, like, can we just stop having these wild conspiracy theories about the Daily Wire being evil and run by the Jews and controlled opposition and trying to destroy conservatism and just like trust each other again? Can we just have a society that trusts each other again? I think it's an argument to just, can we go back to this time before the chaos?
I get it. No, we can't. We can't, first of all. And what the distinction that Vivek made was so important because I think a lot of people have falsely been saying, well, how far are we going to go back? Are we going to go back to the Civil War and rehash that? You know, are we going to do this? Are we going to be like the left and go all the way back to 1619 and question the whole founding of the country and waste all of our time and effort and energy hating ourselves instead of being productive? But I don't think that that's the same thing as even going back to World War II. And the reason for that, and I think people like Matt Walsh have actually done this very successfully, going back to that time and being like, hey, here's the things put in place by our system that are in place now that are affecting us now. And here's the origins of it. And here's how we can defeat it. Matt Walsh did this perfectly with the, I can't even remember the name of the document, but we talked about it in our population episode, which is Planned Parenthood basically put this whole plan together exactly where America would be in 70
Jaffe
years.
Memo.
And the Jaffe memo. And that's exactly where we're at today. That is a very, that's a conspiracy theorist type thing to do, right? You know, it very much is. And again, like whether it's MK Ultra or whether it's MK Naomi or whether it's this or that, the whole deep state, the whole foundation of the CIA post-World War II, these are all actually legitimate questions to ask how we got to where we're at and what we can do about them. It's not the same thing that the left is doing with just I hate America, right?
Right.
I think Vivek handled that perfectly. He said it. He said it very well.
Yeah. Ah, he knows. He talks good sometimes.
He does talk good sometimes, but I still think he's a World Economic Forum puppet, and I don't know how to feel about it. Him and Elon just confuse the living crap out of me. I'm always going to be very cautious around both of them, no matter how much I like what they say.
Yeah. So Seth suggested that there's a nefarious, true agenda behind a lot of these just asking questions, people who are controlling a lot of the discourse on the right now, particularly on Twitter. And I just wanted to briefly talk about what might that true agenda be? This and where is it coming from? The piece, like we've said, Jeremy and Seth both, I think, attributed to too large a group of people what they were seeing in, they were seeing. Like, there is a group of people who do hate America and who are just asking questions and hiding this nefarious true agenda. And I want to say that it is because of mass immigration, unchecked mass immigration of Muslim people, as we've imported a lot of ideologies and values that are antithetical to America. They are hateful to America, antithetical to the West. They hate everything that we've believed up to now. And Islam is well known for hating the Jews. That's kind of their whole personality. And
got a few thousand years of practice at it.
Yeah. I mean, they claim to be descended from Ishmael. Like the heart of that feud going all the way back to Abraham's real son and shitty stepson, or however you want to put it. But you've got millions of people who have come into this country with a different set of values and a different set of ideologies. And I didn't realize until really, because I've been asking this question so much lately, like, why did this conservative influencer go off the rails into this direction? And why did this, like, what are they gaining by this? And the answer is that they are gaining a whole new audience that we did not previously have in this country. You have millions of people who are coming into the country. They are getting cell phones. They're getting access to the internet. They're speaking English. They're becoming an English speaking audience with resources to spend more time online consuming content. And all of a sudden you have a whole new audience and money to be made off people who think this way. So yeah, there are conservative influencers who are following that money over and spouting all of these anti-woman, anti-Jew, anti-American beliefs and walking down these conspiracy theory paths to justify it.
So this is Andrew Tate and Sneeko and the whole influencing.
But it's like Lauren Chen. This is why Lauren Chen went off the rails. This is why Zuby went off the rails. This is why a lot of these like people who were decent voices in the conservative space, if a bit like boring and not particularly successful, but that's where they're going. And Tim Pool, even Candace Owens, that's why they're walking down this path, is because there's money.
Oh, I 100% agree with
an
that.
An audience.
Yeah.
And it's because of mass immigration. It's almost like, it's so funny to me when conservatives complain about something for years and years and years, and then don't like admit that there was a consequence to the thing.
So the thing that they've been complaining about for two decades.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And again, it's almost like, I know I'm going to sound a little unhinged here for a second. It's almost like Andrew Tate's CIA father rubbed off on Andrew Tate. And it's almost like the deep state runs both sides to a certain degree when they get the left to love opening them up them borders, and then they use quote unquote right wing influencers to sell an anti-American ideology to the people who are pouring over our borders.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
And it's not just the people who are coming over. It's the people who are coming over influencing the people who are here.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And third world brainwashing. You're just, it's the Overton window is moving because we're importing so many people who have beliefs outside of the Overton window.
Mm-hmm.
Is what's happening.
We literally don't have any idea what being American means other than a geographical location. And then mm-hmm. we open the borders up and even that doesn't make any, that's just out the window now. Like right, there is right. no consensus on what American values, belief systems, norms, mm-hmm. any of that is anymore.
Right. So I said we would circle back to the moon landing thing.
Yay. And,
I think the moon landing is just a funny conspiracy theory. I don't agree with it, but it's fun to talk about. And most of my problem with it is just that it is usually married to flat Earth, and I have problems with flat Earth. But it's funny how people like Kyle will be like, "Well, it's just a funny conspiracy theory," and people like Jeremy will be like, "No, this is a conspiracy theory that's hateful to America." And I think that the problem is that not everyone who believes the conspiracy theory is a monolith. Not everyone believes a theory for the same reason or entertains a theory for the same reason. But I think that there are people who entertain the moon landing conspiracy because they're on this train of simping for Russia and thinking that America was never that great. And maybe we didn't actually win the space race and it was all a lie and all this stuff.
Right. Yeah. And I get that to a certain extent because, again, like, one of my problems with an overcorrection right now, when you talked about this earlier with Tucker Carlson, was we don't like that our government is funneling a bunch of money into what is a puppet oligarchy, you know,
right?
Which is Ukraine. So therefore, we all of a sudden people feel the knee jerk reaction to love Russia, and it's like they both really suck. And the more I look at both of them, the more I'm like, these two countries are awful. Maybe we should stay out of it just for that reason. With that, people who are all of a sudden really warm towards Russia love that Russia hates they lost the space race and has been pushing like moon landing conspiracy theories for like 50 years. So
yeah,
not to say there's nothing to question. I think moon landing stuff is interesting. I think that there are things we're being lied to about. It's yeah. just that I hate keep rehashing this, so I'll just say it quickly. The more I looked into the moon landing stuff, the more I realized the big moon landing conspiracy theorists, everything they said was a lie. And I was just mm-hmm. like, I want to believe something weird happened here, but you keep using half truths. And if you just told right. me like a whole truth and it was weird, then we would have somewhere to go. But it's one of those things that the more you dig into, the more you're like, at least the people who are the most popular for talking about the moon landing know they're lying to you. And that bothered me.
Yeah. And back to Seth's point, there are a lot of disingenuous conspiracy yeah. theorists out there, people who are lying to you, who do know what they're saying is bullshit. And I think that I wanted to have a little bit more of a conversation just about like, how do we deal with our normie friends? How do you deal with it when you have a friend like Jeremy or Seth who's out there like, all these people hate America, and you don't want to get mad at them for saying that. You do want to understand where they're coming from. You don't want to think that they're a bad person, because they're not. They're not a bad person for saying that. They're coming from their own point of view on it, forgetting that they have friends who believe those things. And where was I going with that? Just recognizing that they looked at the evidence. And it wasn't compelling to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so in their own conspiratorial mindset, right, they're thinking everyone who says this thing that I don't find compelling can't be trusted.
Right.
Like, I don't trust the government and they don't trust the people who are pushing the theories. This week was an interesting one for me of like being really mad at Jeremy and Seth for saying those things. And then trying to sit there and be like, but why? Like, where were they coming from? I know they're good people. I know they're not stupid. I know they're not paid off. I know all of these things. So can I understand that? And then can I see where they're coming from enough to recognize that they are right? They are right about trying to identify some sort of problem and address it. I think that Jeremy was right, and Seth are both right to address the problem that they were seeing.
Right.
And I would be wrong to defend conspiracy theorists as if we're all this
monolith.
Perfectly good monolith of just asking purely innocent questions and never being wrong and all this.
To say that everybody who believes the 9/11 happened or the moon landing was fake or 9/11 was an inside job and the moon landing was fake is not American is as ridiculous as saying you are a paid shill for not believing my particular conspiracy theory. And it's one of those things where there is actually nuance to this. And this is why, again, this is why I think what we're trying to do is important. This is why, and I'm not always trying to just pat ourselves on the back, but I think that there's an actual space here that we're very uniquely able to talk to, which is the conspiracy space and the conservative space, the Christian space. Like we kind of have our toes everywhere and we kind of don't fit in anywhere for these reasons. And we're really oddly niche for these reasons. And it's all the reasons why we're probably not as successful as we'd like to be, but it's where we're called to be, I think. And like this particular conversation was so interesting to you and to me because it's bridging the gaps of a bunch of different things. And I think we're finding common ground on both sides of the aisle here, where it's like we're almost like called to be the mediators of this particular conversation, because on one hand, I'm just asking questions. I'm not going to take responsibility for my conclusions, or I'm not going to even stand up for what I actually think and believe. I'm going to hide behind this weird, veneer, this whole like keck frog fake, I don't ever really say what I want to say thing, like as a defense mechanism, which I always found kind of cowardly and weird. And then on the other hand, it's I don't know how to ask these questions, and I see the people who are calling me all these names, and I think they're all this monolith, this group of awful, terrible, Jew-hating, anti-American assholes. And it's just not true. I know he's crying. Do you have anything you want to say before we go, or do you want me to let you just end this so you can take care of the baby? Okay. Well, thank you guys for being here. We'll be back on Wednesday with a very special guest, a return guest to the show. We've got something big coming for Thursday as well. So thank you everybody for being here. I'll let Abby get going so she can take care of the baby. Have a great night, everyone. God bless.